Welcome to the Living Life on Purpose podcast with your host, Michael Mukunda Chandra Cohan, the founder of YourWellnessYogi.com and the Living Life on Purpose community. The Living Life on Purpose podcast is a show dedicated to inspiring people to achieve their goals and live their dreams to the highest potential. Life is short. Learn to live it on purpose. Inside all of us is a powerful spark of the divine, and yet as life's challenges grind and wear us down, many of us forget that inner spark. However, that spark never leaves us, and if we stray too far from it, we will be unhappy in our life. At Your Wellness Yogi and the Living Life on Purpose community, we are dedicated to helping you discover that inner spark in life. We offer a variety of life coaching packages that meet your needs and budget. We have group coaching, monthly mindfulness mastermind calls, and one-to-one coaching. Get started today and take advantage of our two free personal one-to-one coaching conversations by taking the Circle of Life quiz, a free life assessment tool that helps you reveal the big picture of your true dreams and paves the road for real personalized action plan to take control of your life. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/life. Before we get started, I wanted to ask you a favor, to write us an honest review of our podcast. By writing us a review, you will help raise our profile so more people can find us on iTunes. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/podcast and click on subscribe to open up in iTunes and write us a review. You can also write us a review on your device as you listen to the show by opening up the podcast app. Thank you and enjoy this week's episode, and I appreciate you listening.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to another full-length episode of the Living Life on Purpose show. Today's guest is with Rihanna Milne. Rihanna's credentials include life and dating coach for the new docuseries, Radical Dating, Finding Lasting Love Over 40 Years, host of her former TV show, Lessons in Life and Love, an educational speaker, licensed mental health counselor, and certified trauma and addiction professional for 2 decades in Delray Beach, California. On today's podcast, we discuss the mindset for success, how to overcome past trauma, how to live your intentional life, and what it means for you to live your life on purpose. Thank you. Now let's get on with this show. Rihanna, thanks for being here on the Living Life on Purpose show. I'm grateful to have you here.
Hi, and Michael. Thanks for having me.
Hi.
Hi.
Before we get started, I ask everybody this simple question. Okay. What is your definition of living life on purpose?
Living the life you create and having the love that you deserve, which is actually my business tagline, but there's a lot of meaning behind that. You know, living a life of purpose, giving back in some way, having work that you love that's empowering for you, having a wonderful love relationship that's peaceful, loving, kind, and supportive, doing the hobbies that you love. For me, that's traveling the world. Family, you know, family values. I've got 2 daughters and grandkids and twins on the way, due in a month. Not mine, my daughter's. So, you know, it's a balance of things that are most important to you and living it the way you want.
Thank you for sharing. I really do appreciate it. And I do want to point out something. The reason why I was excited to have you on the show before I get into my personal stuff is because I noticed when I went to your website is one of the things that I find that a lot of life coaches, and I use air quotes that you cannot see, is okay. They're not professional because they don't have like a mission, a tagline. And I really do appreciate the fact that you actually have those things on your website, which means I know that you put some thought into care into what you do instead of just saying, hey guys, I'm a life coach, give me money.
Oh yeah. Well, I've been a psychotherapist in private practice over 20 years and jumped ship from the insurance model when they refused to give their doctors and therapists raises. They gave me a $5 raise in 18 years of being in private practice per session. I'm like, no more. And, you know, I kept growing in my education and even recently became a certified clinical trauma professional. But every time you invest in your education, you would expect to, you know, reap the rewards back. And the insurance model, the prices go up for the public every year, but it doesn't go to the practitioners. So I decided I'm jumping ship and I'm living, that's part of living my life on purpose the way I want to. And I really wanted to specialize in the trauma piece because it's so important and it's cutting edge information. And most people don't even realize that they have unhealed, unconscious childhood trauma. And even though I'm a life coach, it's a very specialized area using psychotherapy and this trauma research that I've done to help people heal and grow to be their best selves in life, love, and in business.
You know, I love this topic because I think we as modern Western Americans, Europeans, Canadians, anybody living in a world where they don't have to really worry about food and shelter, mm-hmm. and a roof over their head and a job, we all have trauma from, you know, yesterday to in the past. And we all think our trauma isn't valid because when we turn on the news or we see those infomercials, we see like real hardship, like people
yes.
in Syria getting blown up. And that's devastating. But at the same time, our trauma is still weird or still, excuse me, still real.
And yes.
one of the things I carried with me for a long time that took me into my 30s to realizing it over was when I was in second grade, I was dyslexic. I had ADHD. I had a couple different learning disabilities. It wasn't that I was dumb. Mm-hmm. I just think differently. When you're having the conversation with me, I'm already on to the next topic. And the way my mind works is very different than the way other people's minds work. I very much compartmentalize how I think. I very much put memory into context. So I have to be in the space to memorize what the information is. And if I'm not in that context, I can't always draw on the information. And my second grade teacher said I was stupid. And said
horrible,
I would never, yeah. And I'm in second grade.
Yeah.
Said I would never graduate from college or high school. She said I was going to be a criminal.
Oh, jeez. This is horrible.
Because I'm bouncing off the wall. And so she said, I'm a criminal. I'm a thug. And I'm not these things. I'm just really hyper. And I carried those two things with me for a long time.
Yeah, that's sad. It's really sad. It's amazing what our coaches, teachers, parents, those messages that they tell us, it lasts a very long time. And my research shows 9 out of 10 of us have at least 1 to 3 of the 10 childhood traumas that I mentioned. And I drew this list from my years of working with kids in schools. I was with kids kindergarten all the way through college as the specialized counselor. I was the SAC, S-A-C, which stands for student assistance counselor. So I worked with the ADHD kids, the oppositional defiance, those bullying or being bullied. I did character ed, drug and alcohol, worked with family issues. And, you know, so I saw trauma constantly. I also worked in a hospital unit, which was for kids 5 through 19, so children and adolescents unit, and also in a drug and rehab for adolescent, and then another one for women of the prison system. So all those years of being a psychotherapist, even as private practice, I also would work into these other environments, and I could see the impact. And when I was doing work with kids labeled ADHD, most of them came from traumatic homes, and they came in so anxious or depressed or worried about their parents fighting or not having enough food, or do we have to move, or my parents are fighting, are they getting divorced? Their anxiety levels were so high they couldn't learn, because when they're nervous or anxious, cortisol is up and memory goes down. Many kids are mislabeled ADHD when it's not that at all. It's trauma-related learning. So, you know, I saw this. So I could put kids before it was even talked about. We did meditation on the rug in my floor they come down for music therapy and listen to Louis Miguel. It's like, I didn't know Spanish, but then I knew it relaxed my kids, you know? And they're like, Ms. Rihanna, put that Mr. Louis on. I'm having a bad morning, you know? So these were outside of the box techniques I would do with children that were anxious or hyperactive, as you're saying, and just talk real with them. And what was coming up over and over and over again was their home environments were very traumatic.
For me, it was my brain just learned information faster than people were giving it to me. Yeah. And I was bored two sentences ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that information, when I was called stupid, I really struggled for years on a subconscious level to get over that. And so what are those, for our listeners that don't know, those 10 areas of trauma?
Okay. Actually, there's more, Michael, but I put into a list of the top 10 just to keep it easier. There's about 18 of them.
Let's keep the top 10.
Yes. No, I will. I always do those for my talks. So when I go through this list, I do suggest people write them down because sometimes later they want to talk to me about them when they're surprised about what they hear. And also when I'm doing this list, I want you to remember this is not about blame or shame. We're not looking to blame your parents at this stage of life. And it's not about feeling shamed if these things did occur for you. We're trying to look at this list as a fact. Did they happen or did they not? And it was really interesting as I was doing the research, I could see it clearly in my ex-husband, but I didn't see it in myself. And then a couple of days later, I said, well, wait a minute, I remember this. And I remember that. And then, you know, I could identify my three very easily. When at first I thought I had a normal childhood, I didn't have trauma. And that's the normal reaction most people get until they hear the list. So here we go. When you were young and innocent, did any of these things occur for you? That's the question. So the first one is addiction in mom or dad or your caretaker. So there's another study called the ACE, Adverse Childhood Events, by Kaiser Permanente, and they named drugs and alcohol and stopped. Well, I'm an addictions counselor too, so I named 11 because I've seen my kids I worked with impacted by these 11. So it's drugs, alcohol, sex, meaning they knew their parents were chronic cheaters, porn, gambling, hoarding, spending, eating, gaming, TV watching, and workaholism. So there's 11 right there. Second, verbal abuse. So that's not just mom and dad yelling at each other, which was identified by the Kaiser study. Instead, I also name being yelled at yourself, right? Being screamed at, or verbal put downs like you experienced, being called names, belittling you, making you feel not good enough, not hearing the words I love you, not hearing great job or I'm proud of you, or like you also heard, you'll amount to no good. You're not going to graduate. These messages are very profound. They're very abusive and they're very toxic. Okay. Third is emotional abuse and neglect. We all know the signs of that. Fourth is physical abuse, rape, or molestation. So that could be sexual abuse, but also the physical abuse is beatings of any kind. You know, I had students that were told to go out and pick the switch off the tree that they were going to be beat with that day, you know, tree limbs and electrical cords and spoons and, you know, all kinds of things that they were hit with. The next one is abandonment. And the Kaiser study didn't even mention that. It was shocking to me because I worked with kids of foster care, you know, and kids that were abandoned by mom and dad and families that took off on them and they came home from school and nobody was there. That happened to a high school student of mine in North Jersey. So, you know, it's abandonment is two types I name, fault and no fault. So a no fault abandonment would be if a parent died early, or if they had to go off to war, that leaves a child very anxious. If it's my mom or dad, are they okay? Are they going to come home? Very anxious situation. Or a no fault like my dad, we didn't know it, but he was FBI and CIA. So we all never knew where he was and when he was coming home. My mom didn't even know. It's like I'd ask, when's daddy coming home? And she said, well, I don't know. I don't know where he is. And it has to be very upsetting for a wife not to have five kids, not to know where your husband is. So she wasn't a very happy person as we were growing up in the house. Of course, that would affect her and then in turn affected us. But that was one that, you know, he worked to earn a living away from the home and he had to protect the family and not say what he did for a living. So that's a no-fault abandonment. Okay, a fault abandonment would be if the parent never was active in the in your life from the first place. Or they left the family when you were young or any time and didn't follow up with custody visits or were late for their visits or let you down repeatedly. Or even if you were in their home, they kind of just ignored you and checked out watching football or with the new partner or whatever it is that they might have done. So that's that one. Yeah, so that's a fault. Okay, the next one is if you were part of foster care, adopted, or had to go live at another relative or friend of the family's house because your parents couldn't take care of you. Next one is very common, probably the most common, is personal trauma, and that's being bullied, told you're not good enough, feeling different because you were diagnosed ADHD or had a medical issue like asthma and could be on the sports team, or you didn't feel like you were part of the cool kids, you were called a nerd or whatever kind of language kids use today that makes you feel different and not good enough. That's a big one. Next one is sibling trauma. That would be if your sibling bullied you or you perceived them to be the golden child, in other words, the favored of mom and dad, because they might have been more athletic, had a special talent, more intelligent, more good looking. For some reason, they got more of mom's and dad's time, attention, and accolades. They could have even had a medical issue, and that demanded more of their time. That's sibling trauma. Number nine has two parts because I had to bring one from the other list down. So the two parts is first is family trauma. That's if your parent might have been incarcerated, moving a lot, like our military families in the U.S. move every 2 to 4 years. That's uprooting the kids from schools and friends constantly. If you remember living in a dangerous neighborhood or there was just a lot of lack conversation, like we don't have money for this, there's not enough money for food. As baby boomers, we heard a ton of lack messages because our parents went through the Great Depression. So that was one that was ingrained in the baby boomers constantly. And then the other one of that category is community trauma. This is our loss of big parts of our community by floods, fires, mudslides, hurricanes. I mean, that's happening all over our world today. Very traumatic for adults. Can you imagine little kids living through this? Our school shootings, our mass community shootings, things that happen community-wide. And I don't remember things like this happening when I was growing up. I mean, it's becoming rampant over and over and over, occurring again. And then the last one, number 10, is mental health issues in mom and dad. Again, the boomers, our parents didn't usually go to counseling, so we kind of have to guess. The two most difficult to live within the parent is bipolar and borderline. Borderline I describe as quick trigger anger, moodiness that comes out of nowhere. But when they're good, they're great. When they're bad, they're horrid. And you never know what you're going to get. Very hard for a child to negotiate a parent like that. And the other one is bipolar, which is manic depressive. So depression can come out as anger, checking out emotionally or extreme fatigue. And manic could be a gambling spree, a spending spree, an eating binge, a sex binge, whatever. It usually is tied to an addiction. So those are the top 10 traumas that I usually evaluate for.
Now, it sounds to me, and it seems that everybody we know, including ourselves, has some sort of trauma. Like you can't go through life without experiencing something.
Right.
Why do we always think, for the most part, that our suffering isn't real then? That if we're going through this trauma, you as a medical practitioner says that this trauma is real. Why do we not acknowledge it? And I don't mean, what I mean by that though, just to clarify, I don't mean that we need to become soft, sterile, people don't have any physical touch with reality, where we don't go outside and fall on the ground and scrape our knees, that we don't, you know, touch each other's hands and have an interaction with people. That I don't mean. What I mean is that we have normal suffering. How come we think that it's not valid? And how do we overcome this?
Right. Well, it is very valid. The thing is, this research is very new and cutting edge. The Kaiser Permanente group, because I mentioned it, is a bigger group. They've gotten the word out. But their correlation of unhealed childhood trauma, it has to do with illness, early illness and disease, like coronary heart disease, strokes, diabetes, obesity. It's all health-related conditions. And trauma gets stored in the brain and body cells. And as a child, we come up with creative ways to handle our environment, because emotionally, we can't handle it on an adult level. We're not ready and prepared to do that. Psychologically, emotionally, we can't. We're just little children. So what happens is they try to adapt in a certain way to survive. So then these coping mechanisms become ingrained and become normalized and end up coming out, especially in our love relationships. And if you'd like, I'll go into some of those things that come up. So people will say, oh, wow, this is where this is coming from. It's so new that people aren't acknowledging it. They just know, for example, a woman that keeps choosing a toxic partner over and over and over again, she swears she's going to get a different next time.
Never
ends. She doesn't.
Never
ends. Right. That's right, because people of trauma attract people of trauma, and you don't know what you're doing wrong, and it's a very frustrating place to be. You don't know what you don't know, and that's where I was personally, and I couldn't figure out what was going on, and it's like, wait, you know, I'm a good person. I'm a great mom. I work hard. I've got a great business. So, you know, what's happening with my mate selection? Where's that coming from? And nobody, that wasn't brought up in my triple master's in psychology. This stuff did not exist. So it's new, it's cutting edge. And that's why I said I'm specializing in this, because I went through love trauma, which was definitely PTSD. People didn't know what was, you know, what to do to help me. I mean, I'm a psychotherapist. I have 7 psychotherapist friends. Nobody knew what was wrong with my ex-husband, who had 9 out of the 10 traumas on a level of 9 and 10. Very severe, physically, verbally abusive, emotionally abusive father, alcoholic, grew up in a poverty situation. So he had a lot of the traumas, and I didn't even know this information when I selected him. You know, charming, used humor. Where's humor come from? Well, humor's that little boy that had no love at home and, you know, to build his confidence, to decide to be the class clown and get people's attention. So he had some kind of love that way. You know, where does manipulation come from? That's maybe the little boy that learned, if I charm my female teacher, instead of getting a D, I'll get a C. My parents won't hit me when I get home and bring home a bad report card. I'll become the teacher's pet. You see, this is survival mechanisms for love, for attention. Let's take a little girl who, as an adult woman, becomes a people pleaser. I work with singles looking for love and couples who keep going round and round in their married relationships with toxic patterns. And I often hear from the woman, oh my God, nobody loves me like I love them. I do everything for my husband and then my kids, and they do nothing nice for me back. And she's burnt out, she's angry, she's resentful. And this woman, for example, might have had that difficult mother that was alcoholic. So in the morning, she'd get up and get all the siblings ready for school, pack their lunch, get them dressed to the bus stop, everything just so mom would not yell and scream at her that morning. So again, it was the coping skill of, well, if I'm really nice and I people please, you know, then she's not going to be mad at me. So this became normalized in her way of being and showing love and receiving love, that she doesn't know anything different. To her, that's just normal. So we have to really look into the boundaries, what is going wrong in the relationship. Let's talk about jealousy and control. Let's say there's a jealous man and the woman's there, look, I love you. I show you every way that I love you. I don't understand. Well, that is a guy that usually was put down and didn't feel good enough. Trauma number 7 or trauma number 2, verbal. or, you know, verbal put downs, or the, you know, around bullying, not feeling good, not fitting in. So he doesn't feel good enough. His self-confidence is low. It does stay with you. Trauma stays with you in the brain and body cells for many, many years. So what happens is, you know, if they're out and some guy's looking at his girl, she's not really doing anything wrong, but he gets that twinge of jealousy. And that's called an emotional trigger, right? So he's not feeling good enough. His self-esteem is low. So this is where codependent relationships come from. Love addiction, lying. Lying could have come from, you know, the little boy that got an F on his test, scared to death to show his father because he was going to get beat. So made it an A and got away with it. And he thought, like, wow, lying works. And he knew he had a 50% shot of getting away with getting beat if he told lies. So then he became an expert liar. And these are these adults that lie about everything. It's like, why even lying about that? Like, what's the big deal? But it became so normalized, you see. So there's all kinds of emotional combinations that develop and then come out mostly in love relationships, but it does come out in business too.
I wanted to take a quick break and remind you that it is never too late to make a choice and decide to make lasting changes in your life and create the life you want and learn to live life on purpose. At Your Wellness Yogi and the Living Life on Purpose community, we are dedicated to helping you discover that spark in life. We offer a variety of life coaching packages that meet your needs and budget. We have group coaching, monthly mindfulness mastermind calls, and one-to-one coaching. Get started today and take advantage of our two free personal one-to-one coaching conversations by taking the Circle Life Quiz, our free life assessment tool that helps you reveal the big picture of your true dreams and paves the road for a real personalized action plan to take control of your life. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/life.
Then that leads us to this other conversation we have that I think to other people, everyone really kind of struggles, I feel like, with two things in life as a life coach that I deal with.
Okay.
How to get over the past have negative thoughts,
right?
Toxic patterns, negative relationships, and how to be successful in life, in their family, friends, health, and wellness, and business.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So as an individual who specializes in these two fields, how do you go about getting over that trauma and changing your mindset to become successful? Before we get into this, let me explain the parameters of my definition of success. Is an individual is successful when they are at the top of their field of, or at the level of success that they desire in life, financially, business, wealth, without sacrificing their relationships, their physical well-being, their mental well-being, their family.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, some people are happy just living in, you know, on a mountaintop and they don't work at all. So that's their level of success.
Exactly.
You know, it's like living life on your terms.
Right.
And having the things that you desire. That's how I would describe success. And that's different to many people, you know.
Exactly. I'm 100% there.
Yeah.
That's okay. My parameter. Like, how do we get over the past, get over the negativity, get over the toxicity, get over all the things that occurred to us in the past, not forgive and forget, but not live with them every day? And how do we then change our mindset to become successful on our own terms?
It's all psychological, I want to say rebranding, but that's not the word I want. It's the mindset for success is what I call it. Okay, so everybody that's sitting in front of me is a different story than everyone else. So the answers are not the same for person one and person two, even if they're in a partnership. And that's why for couples, I have to look at each person individually and see what were their traumas, what level were their traumas, how are they dealing with it, what was their coping mechanism that became normalized, what are they bringing into the relationship. And then I have to do that with partner two. They're all different answers. And then based on those answers, I have to teach new rules of communications, new rules of empathy and understanding. Because when your partner acts up, most people take it personally. That's what we're taught. Wow, you know, in the blame game, you did this, you did that. You know, putting ego before your partner, you know, there's all different. It takes me 6 months to, and that's what it would say in trauma training, to really help you take the unconscious and make it conscious, to break these behavioral patterns, to calm the emotional triggers, to go from fear-based negative thoughts, which 8 out of 10 people do have 8 out of 10 negative thoughts. I mean, my clients become the opposite. For my programs, there's a high level of spirituality that's important for healing and growth without fear, to have that spiritual faith that I can do it, and risk. And risk is scary for a lot of people that have had trauma. So, you know, you have to become fully aware, consciously aware in life, love, business, and there's a lot of different techniques. So my research led to a couple of books that I wrote, Live and Love Beyond Your Dreams. And Love Beyond Your Dreams is break free of toxic relationships to have the love you deserve. Over 400 pages, but the exercise workbook is 150. So how my clients fill out the information worksheets and give them to me is how I interpret where their traumas are. And then I work with them individually to so they can see it and how it's coming up for them. And then we have to change the story. We have to give them exercises to calm the anxiety. I do vitamin therapy, definitely meditation is still one of the top ways to deal with trauma. Mine is called spiritual divine meditation. There's definitely steps that my clients do. We do it on a daily basis. So I look at everything holistically, mind, body, spirit. And, you know, even rewriting the story of what they thought, you know, the blaming statements, well, my mom's this and my mom's that. Well, the research shows childhood trauma goes through 3 generations. So it's easy to point at mom and dad did these things to you, but what did they go through? You know, and then what did their parents go through? So unfortunately, it goes through the generations until you do the deep dive work to change it. So as a love coach, people there, oh, you teach the skills to date. I said, well, that's part of it. But no, I teach the mindset for success so that you're dating psychologically and emotionally successfully. Because let's say somebody ghosts you, right? You're on some online site and they ghost you. And somebody that's not psychologically healed is going to be upset or say, oh, I'm not pretty enough, or he didn't like me, or, you know, be angry at dating. I'm not doing this. I'm no good at it. What's the matter with me that I can't find someone? It's all internalized. When you're emotionally and psychologically sound and happy and healed, you don't think that way at all. It's like, next, you just, whatever, you know, that guy needs some help and you just go on to the next one. It's just, it doesn't phase you. It's amazing when the trauma response is out of your body.
I have to ask you a question because you did mention it before. And I think this is probably where we'll finish up because we want to keep this relatively condensed and dense in information.
Okay.
One of the things I've noticed is an increase in chaos in this world, I feel like. Yeah. I don't know. Every time I talk to like my parents about it, they're like, oh, you don't know. We had Vietnam. We had this going on. You don't know. It's always been like this. But I don't remember in the last 20 years, the amount of discord and disharmony and negativity that there is today. And I feel like it's because we as individuals have isolated ourselves from the people around us. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, what do you think is the reason why there is so much chaos and hardship and trauma and mass shootings and violence that are occurring in our culture today?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is the social isolation that is coming with social media. I think that's a huge part of it. In schools, the kids being bullied through social media, that started way back when I was in the schools with MySpace. There was a lot of bullying going on and, you know, into suicidal behavior because they're so depressed, being ostracized through social media to a large amount of people. I think more and more parents are working harder hours that they're not, they can't be home for the kids. I mean, I grew up during Ozzie and Harriet stage, right? Where the mom stayed home and dads went off to work. Well, you know, if that's the marriage situation you have today, that's a luxury. It's very rare usually. And there's more women today in the workplace than men. That they have surpassed the men in the workplace. So, you know, the mother who gave birth to these children are the first nurturing source. You know, she's spread so thin between work and then cooking and shopping. And we had to do that in the 20s. And in my 20s, I remember that going from Ozzie and Harriet to my college degree. And now all of a sudden, okay, now you got to work. Now you got to have the kids. Now cook the meals, clean the house, do the grocery shopping. And the men still did the 9-to-5 jobs. So there was another psychotherapist that talked about this. He goes, that was the age of the big divorces. Because women are like, the man's just another child. You know, I can do better just having these two, not the third to take care of. So it was a time of big discord, and there's a lot of single family homes now. Financially, things are more expensive, so people are working longer hours. And the socialization is just difficult. You know, the whole family structure is so different. Yeah. The kids used to play outside. I mean, we play kick the can and kickball and hide and seek and capture the flag and all kind of cool things in my neighborhood. You see kids isolated unless they're in a community where it's gated, you know, because of child snatching. It's craziness. It is craziness. Was there enough nurturing of children growing up that there's so much anger?
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody wanted to reach out to you and wanted to work with you, where's the best place that they can find you?
My website. I have a lot of free gifts there and great resources. I would say go to RihannaMilne.com, go under the quiz section, and you'll find 4 tests. The first one is the childhood trauma checklist. And then there's one for singles, one for couples, and another one to evaluate your traumas. Those are very, very educational. And right at the top bar, there's a free ebook, Why 9 out of 10 People Suffer in Life and Love. That goes deeper into the childhood trauma situation. Right now, I'm running a wonderful promotion for an assessment session. You can meet with me for a full hour for only $47 instead of $500. So it's a great deal. And I'm offering 3 free sessions a week to help people find love for Valentine's Day. So, you know, I really want people to find love. I want them to stop struggling so much. If people knew what they knew about childhood trauma and how to heal this, our world would be a more loving, kind place. You know, people wouldn't be so angry and testy and blaming, and you know, they would have more compassion and empathy if it was a more spiritually based world with a lot more healing going on.
I agree. Rihanna, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael. I just want to encourage everyone that now's the time to create that life you desire and have the love you deserve. Don't wait. The mindset for success can help you in every area of your life. So, you know, don't put yourself on hold. Go for it.
I agree. Thank you, Rihanna. I appreciate you and I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Michael. Likewise.
Thank you for listening to the Living Life on Purpose podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. please subscribe to our show in iTunes and write us a review. By writing us a review, you will help raise our profile so more people can find us on iTunes. Links to our sponsors and other tools can be found in our show notes, along with other useful information. For more information on our yoga and coaching classes, please visit our website at yourwellnessyogi.com and please sign up for our newsletter. Life is short. Learn to live it on purpose. Thank you.